look forward to Transcendent Tuesday around here, around the Broken Road, because we're joined by Dr. Don Clark, Don, a biochemist, a member of the board of the Creation Moments, a vintner in his own right, and a resident of Garden Valley, Texas, which sounds like a mystical place. You envision rolling green hills and trees and peaceful cattle lowing on the hill. Do cattle low? I think they low.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
We used to have some.
Just some a minute. I'm painting a picture here now. It's kind of a sylvan wonderland. And in this little place called Garden Valley, there is a bevy of Christian ministries based, for understandable reasons. It's a beautiful place. And among them is Dr. Don Clark and his Valle della Pace winery, his vineyards there.
And, I think even in Garden Valley, cattle low.
Okay. If they get excited, does a cow high? Does they?
It's defined as cattle mooing.
Moo, it's a moo. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a
moo. It's just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Moo.
All right. Did you know that? You know they could sleep on their feet. Cows can. I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just throw a little scientific information in to kind of segue into the pig man cometh, which is it has to do with animals, you know, farm animals, you know. This is about a chimera. A chimera is a critter that contains cells from two different animal species, and apparently the Salk Institute is taking credit for having succeeded in creating what could be called a pigman. That is, they've combined human cells and pig cells. And Don, I'm just wondering what's achieved by this. Why and you know, what good is it? What's it for?
Well, according to them, the reason why they're doing this research in the first place, in this case, they took a pig pig embryos and they inserted human stem cells. In a stem cell can basically change into any cell as it's programmed to as it touches other cells, for example. So we use stem cells in our own body. I mean, not that we're actually doing it ourselves, but God designed it this way, so that when you have an injured tissue, for example, stem cells can come and help repair that tissue. So they took the human stem cells and implanted them, if you will, into the embryos, and then implanted the embryos into pigs to see what the little piglets would look like. And they didn't keep it. They didn't grow them up to little piglets. They aborted the process. I think it was about 3 or 4 months later or something like that, if I remember from reading the article. And then they looked at the cells, and most of the cells, surprisingly, were pigs. And there were very, very few human cells actually embedded into the pig cells. So the main point, though, as they say, is that we don't have enough organs for the need for organ transplant, so we're looking at an alternative method, which is to make these chimeric hybrids, and then we can harvest the organ that we need, implant it into the human, and everybody's going to be happy, of course, except for the dead pig that has to result out of that process.
Maybe donor pigs then is what they would be. Yeah.
Mm. Right. Yeah. So, but the problem, of course, was at least at this stage, and this is after they've spent at least, I think, 4 years doing this, many, many trials and errors and very limited success. The resulting tissue, as I described, was much more pig in very little human. And so our immune systems, a organ taken from that type of process, our immune systems would attack it like it would attack any other foreign tissue, because there's not enough human tissue to begin with.
Why pigs, Don? Why pigs? Is there some similarity between pigs and human that make them the animal to research?
Well, pigs do have some similarity to us from the standpoint when, for example, if you need skin, they'll take a pig hide, a pig, which, and you know, put pig skin over the burned area, for example, and that seems to work relatively well without being rejected so much as some other type of skin. And they've done this for years. I think they've got other techniques now, but they've done this. And so, you know, it was thought that, I guess, the pigs are closer, you know, to humans and wouldn't be rejected as much.
DNA-wise, you mean the DNA compares favorably with human DNA somehow?
Well, yeah, that's a relative question, of course, because it is a different animal. Not that we are animals, and which brings up the whole this whole issue of making these chimeras, because you know, you can play around with we have the ability now to play around with the genetic code. We have the ability to play around with our genetic code. We have the ability to play around with animal genetic code. And, you know, one, having the basic tools, then, you know, you can then modify some other animal's, you know, DNA, or even modify our DNA. And the problem with that, and as we go about doing these types of experiments, is you are basically messing around with the human DNA and the human genome. And if you're playing around with the human genome, it's almost like you know, when I think about this from a biblical perspective, it brings my mind, it draws my mind back to post you know, pre-flood type of you know, conditions, when the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were desirable and came down, you know, to earth, essentially, and mated with them, and then created what, you know, the Bible describes as the giants of old, or the Nephilim. And so these were, in essence, chimeric humans. Of angels coming down to heaven, and there's other explanations, of course, that people give, that, well, the sons of God were Seth's descendants of Seth, but that makes absolutely, you know, no sense whatsoever from the story, and why, you know, humans with humans would cause God to say, okay, my time is up with these folks, and I need to destroy them with a flood, like he did.
Yeah, and you've talked about this before. You were saying in unequivocal terms that God was unhappy with that, and that was one of the reasons the whole flood happened. It was like a major earthly reset, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And even some of that genetic code snuck through, if you will, snuck through the flood. One of Noah's son's wives probably had... was a descendant of one of these folks, and then, you know, produced offspring, which ultimately resulted in the giants that were in David's time. Now, you remember Goliath, and Goliath had five brothers, and or four brothers, and so there were giants even post, you know, post-flood, which, you know, again, were probably, as I said, descendants ultimately from these Nephilim that were on the earth. So those giants wound up being wiped out, and now the genetic line, if you will, is once again pure. So when we go tampering with our genome, and it's one thing, you know, trying to correct, let's say, one base pair, because that's causing an error in the coding for hemoglobin, which then, you know, translates into sickle cell anemia. That's been studied for a long, long time, and we know the exact gene that's affected. We know the place on the gene that's affected, and theoretically, we could go in there and cut out the bad part and put in the good part with this CRISPR technology that these folks also used. CRISPR is just a enzymatic system that you can put anything on the ends of the scissors, if you will, of the CRISPR enzyme system, and that will stick to whatever part of the DNA you want it to stick to, and then snip it at that part. So once you've got it snipped, once you've got it cut, then you can go in and insert any genetic code you want, and essentially put it back together. And now you've inserted a new gene, or in the case of, let's say, sickle cell anemia, excuse me, a repaired gene. And now that person who would have grown up with sickle cell anemia has normal blood, and they wouldn't have the condition. And all that, you know, is fine, because you're replacing human genes with human genes. You're not replacing human genes with pig genes, or pig genes with human genes, and all of this other stuff. The problem with the experiment that we started this conversation with is that you are presupposing also in your theology, if you will, or lack thereof, that man is not made in the image of God, that there is no difference between man and any other human, I mean, any other animal. And, of course, you know, Scripture certainly tells us that man is different from the animals in that he is made in the image of God, and that it took the complete Godhead to make man in God's image. And so we are special from the point of view that we have, you know, body, soul, and spirit. So the spirit part of us, of course, is that part that God can communicate to us, since God is indeed spirit. And so the animals, for example, do not have the spirit aspect, so they cannot communicate with God in the obviously that way that humans can. And so when you start mucking around with the human genome, you really get yourself in this kind of never-never land.
Well, it's hard to predict what's going to happen with future generations if you create a living being that is, in fact, a chimera, that is a combination of two or more animal creatures. What's going to happen 30, 40, 50 years or 20, 30, 40, 50 generations afterwards? That's a big question mark, and with this particular research, this pig man concept, the idea was to be able to harvest organs to meet human needs, but there's already parallel techniques being developed from stem cells alone that scientists say they can eventually, in the not too distant future, actually 3D print replacement organs for people, without doing chimeras, that is, without combining species. So the question goes back to, why are they doing this to begin with? Is it fame and fortune? Is it the first to discover? Is it ego? Is it we're doing it just because we can? What's the real motivation here?
Well, I think we do it because, oh, not we do it, but I mean, you know, some of these scientists do it because they can, because they want to see if they can. Not that there would be necessarily fortune. I mean, you have to commercialize. You have to commercialize your research in order to, you know, realize any fortune out of it. And in most cases, most of these folks are working in a public institution, in which case their research then is available, you know, to the public, and they may or may not get any financial reward, you know, from it, or at least that's the way it was when I was doing research. Things seem to have changed these days.
Well, standards seem to have flown out the window, and at the risk of becoming political, which would delight David, by the way, this left-wing wave has to do with, one, a debasement of the language, and two, a dispensing of moral standards. And the same thing could well be happening in science. Is this the coming wave, or is this going to be squashed by moral science, wherever that comes from?
Well, you know, you have to ask, where are the ethics in all of this, and who is monitoring all of this activity? And as time goes on, it seems like, gee, if you want to do that research, go ahead and do it, as opposed to, wait a minute, you can't do that research. And even making clones of humans, you know, is highly questionable, because you are basically taking one individual and genetically making two individuals from the one individual that's cloning with exactly the same DNA. Human genome. So in years past, those type of experiments were squelched, and you had to go to such places as China in order to do those experiments, and indeed those type of experiments have been done. But in order to completely take the moral and the ethical question out of it, you're starting from a place of saying there is no God, and therefore man is God, and therefore I can do anything that I want, since we have all of this information, and as time goes on, we gain more information on how to manipulate the genetic code of not only man, but of pigs and any other animal. We can make and try anything we want to see if, you know, if these chimeras can be ultimately helpful, or if we can just see that we can do it. So as the world in general gets more and more evil, and when it is getting more and more evil, by the way, we know that the day is approaching of Jesus' return, because he is not going to allow the world to be completely corrupt and return again to the point of the pre-flood conditions. So as we see that coming, those of us who have ears to hear and eyes to see what is going on, can understand the times, and we basically have to. A lot of this that we're seeing in the world today, for example, in the science, in the politics, in the schools, wherever you look, in law, for example, we've gone away from absolute law because we've done away with the absolute creator and said, well, now law is relative. So, I can interpret this law to mean whatever I want it to mean at that time. And instead of saying, no, there is a higher law, which is God's law. And, of course, God's Ten Commandments is a starting point. But we have taken the Ten Commandments out of, out of the our places of judgment, for example, out of the courtroom, and judges can no longer, and defendants and those who are being, tried can no longer see the higher standard. So the standard that you're left with is man's standard.
Well, see, you use the word higher, and I'd like to think there are scads of people out there, including Christians, who can think on a higher plane, that understand what the higher plane is. Unfortunately, even the word higher doesn't mean what it used to mean. There's no longer an objective meaning to it. It's all subjective, and that's kind of scary.
Oh, it's very scary, because now you're left with anybody who thinks that they are higher can make the rule, and you will have to abide by it because they are the higher the higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how our country was founded. That's not how God intended it to be, obviously. And so when we eliminate God from our society, basically all hell can break loose, and ultimately it will.
Mm-hmm. Scary stuff. The pig man cometh. On the way? Well, time will tell. It's all included in an article from Breakpoint, and the link is in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com if any of you would like to read that and follow up on that. But interesting stuff there. David, what do you think?
Yeah, it seems like it's all a part of a whole plan.
Well, hang in there, folks.
Keep your heads down.
Merrily, we will go through this together. We
will. Okay, yes, we will.
Want to recommend the website for Creation Moments, creationmoments.com is the website. And there's a library, a collection of scientific information there that supports the biblical story of creation. I think you'll enjoy visiting there, and I want to suggest that to you, creationmoments.com. And Don Clark, Dr. Don, we'll talk to you again next week. Appreciate the time today, and thank you for joining us. It's good to see you.
You're quite welcome, and we'll speak with you next week.
Okie doke. Take care. Bye-bye.